Since last year's election, the Commonwealth government has had trouble getting its proposed company tax cuts through Parliament, with the US president recently announcing his plans to dramatically lower their corporate tax rate. There have been increasing calls for Australia to follow suit. Joining us to discuss the nuances of this issue is Brendan Coates from the Grattan Institute. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning.
So what are the government's proposed tax cuts?
So the government went to the 2016 election promising to cut the company tax rate from 30% down to 25% over a decade. So they've staged the cuts so that they first apply to small businesses, and then gradually those cuts would apply to larger and larger businesses and eventually to all firms in Australia by 2025-26. Now, as you mentioned in the intro, they've had some issues in getting those cuts through the Parliament because both the Labor Party and the Greens are opposed, and so they're relying upon the crossbench. And they've managed to do a deal to negotiate the first tranche of the tax cuts for businesses with annual turnover of less than $50 million, but they're still trying to get those larger tax cuts through, and that's where most of the budgetary cost is, and probably to the extent that they have an economic impact, that's where that economic impact will be as well.
Now, before we talk about, go into a bit more about these tax cuts, I understand Australia has a rather unique dividend imputation system. How does that work, and how does it change how we need to look at corporate tax reform?
So the way company taxes normally work around the world is that, you know, a company, say a bank or someone else, earns a profit, and then it's taxed on those profits, so whatever the company tax rate is. And then that money then goes, it's obviously the company is owned by shareholders, and that money goes back to shareholders and it's taxed again at some rate, often a discounted rate, but in your personal income tax return. So if you own shares, you're taxed, that income from the company is taxed once at the corporate level and then once in your personal income tax return. Now, in Australia, it's slightly different because we have a system called dividend imputation, which is supposed to basically look through those taxes paid by companies and reverse the amount when you get to the personal income tax return. So if the company's paid taxes on your behalf, you get what are called franking credits, and you use those to offset the tax that you have to pay on, say, your wages or whatever else. And what it really means is that those company profits are only ever taxed once, and you're really only taxed at your personal income tax rate. So whereas in other countries you're taxed twice, in Australia you're really only taxed once. But it's worth probably talking a little bit about what's the case and what are the economics for why we think a company tax cut may or may not be a good idea. And the debate over company taxes is a great example of one of the real insights of economics, which is that, you know, there's a difference between who is legally responsible for paying a tax, in this case a company as a corporate entity, versus those that end up incurring the cost, so who ends up being worse off from the tax. And so this is the distinction between economic and legal incidents. And so the reason this matters is because, to take the example of company tax cuts, a firm deciding whether to invest in Australia or in another country would be potentially discouraged by Australia's high company tax rate, picks another country. By not investing in Australia, each worker has less capital, less machinery and equipment to work with, they're less productive, they earn lower wages. And so while the company is legally required to pay the tax, some of the costs of the company tax are in fact passed forward onto workers who bear those costs as lower wages or less employment. And that's really important, I think, when you're talking about company taxes, because the debate ends up in a world where it's either a big tax cut for foreign corporates or, no, we definitely have to do this for international competitiveness reasons. And the answer probably lies somewhere in the middle.
So how can we know CEOs and executives won't just pocket a tax cut?
Well, that's a really good question, and there's probably some evidence that potentially does happen a little bit, but the international markets for capital are relatively competitive, and what I mean by that is that companies around the world are looking where to invest, and so if you have a high tax rate in Australia, they will probably just look somewhere else for that same investment. And the economic evidence is certainly that roughly perhaps half of the economic costs of company tax are ultimately fall on workers, and the other half falls on, you know, shareholders or the business executives themselves.
So now we've just had these Paradise Papers coming out in the last couple of days, and they've spoken about, you know, multinationals like Apple and Nike continuing to hide their money elsewhere. Wouldn't corporate tax cuts mean we're getting even less out of multinationals than we already are?
Well, so if money is being siphoned off to tax havens, then you're not really taxing it anyway. So the way those particular arrangements work is you pretty much, you take profits that are, you know, were earned in Australia, and you use sort of some sort of complex deal with a subsidiary where you make it look as if the profits were in fact earned in an offshore entity of the firm that happens to be, say, you know, in Bermuda or somewhere else, and the tax rate on that is very low, and so therefore the Australian people are missing out on the tax revenue you get from that. Now, if you have a lower company tax rate, that probably doesn't hurt or help that particular scenario, because the tax rate in Australia, even at the lower level of 25%, which is what the government's proposing, would still be higher than what, say, you'd be paying if you're paying in a tax haven. Where it really does hit, though, is that it does certainly erode trust in, as you know, the premise of your question suggests, in the confidence that companies will do the right thing and that they should get a tax cut, in order to sort of boost jobs and employment if they're not already paying taxes already. And I think that's something that's really underappreciated by the business community, is that to the extent that we have lots of controversies over multinational tax avoidance, it certainly erodes faith in those businesses themselves and the case for a company tax cut.
We're talking with Brendan Coates from the Grattan Institute about corporate tax cuts. Now, Brendan, the Liberal Party focused on budget surplus to get back into power in 2013. Surely cutting corporate taxes can't be a step in the surplus direction, can it?
No, that's exactly right. So one of the big criticisms of what the Turnbull government has done is that they've announced these company tax cuts. Now, they're backloaded in the sense that most of the budgetary costs only comes about once you get to big businesses. Because most company tax is really paid by, it's about six or seven firms in Australia. So the big four banks, the supermarkets, airlines and so on, and the miners, they pay the majority of company tax in Australia because Australia has, you know, a relatively small economy with really big firms. Now, the total cost of those company tax cuts over the next decade is about $65 billion. And so that's obviously a lot of money. And what the government hasn't said explicitly how it will pay for them. So essentially what it's done is it's said, we have built them into the budget and we'll make sure that the budget remains in surplus along the way. And what that implicitly means, if you look into the budget papers, is that the main source of funds for the company tax rate cut is probably higher personal income taxes, because we have bracket creep. So over time, when you have inflation and wages growth, we don't adjust the tax brackets for the level at which the higher marginal tax rates kick in. And so over time, more and more of our income, your and my income, is taxed at a higher tax rate. And that's probably where the budgetary savings or the budgetary costs of the company tax cuts are actually coming from. And in fact, it's probably, it's worth pointing out that the big criticism of the company tax cuts proposed by the government is that it gives a windfall gain to existing investors. So it's fair enough to try to boost investment in Australia by attracting new firms to come in. And because of our dividend imputation system, those that really benefit from the company tax cut are foreign firms or foreign investors. Now, there's nothing wrong with that per se, because if they're the ones that invest and you get more capital and higher wages, that's great. But the problem is that you're giving a tax cut to the existing investment that's already here, and that's just a windfall gain. That just boosts the price of shares. It comes out of the pockets of the government and therefore the services that you and I benefit from, and it takes quite a long time for that new investor to come on to compensate for that lost income from the lower taxes that we're getting right now.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound like this is the type of thing that we should necessarily be going for. Hey, Brendan, thanks very much for your time this morning.